Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Since it's Wednesday, we're going to be reading something from 2010 today. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. This is the story about an Oregon mystery that's 80 years old. Depending on who you talk to, it's either a mystery or a classic case of a huckster getting some undeserved fame, and I'm not going to take a position on which of the two it is. But at the Oregon Vortex, water seems to run uphill and people's height appears to change from one end of a plank to another, so is it a fantastic optical illusion or a mysterious force? Opinions vary. Personally, I have to say that there have to be some people like me who just really kind of want to believe in the mysterious force theory. Unlikely, though, it really does seem. Well, this story was first published on February 28th of 2010. Here we go. On March 1st, a strange little sideways hut near Gold Hill in southern Oregon officially opened for the 2010 season, and the debate over whether it's the scene of a baffling scientific anomaly or a clever con job will rage on into the eighth decade. The hut is called the House of Mystery, and it's part of a place known as the Oregon Vortex. And if you're a serious hardcore X-Files fan, you probably already know about it. It was in a 1999 episode of the cult classic TV show. Really, the Vortex is a prime contender for Oregon's most successful roadside attraction, with the exception of Sea Lion Caves. Not so many years ago, there were quite a few of these, especially along Highway 101. They sported names like Prehistoric Gardens, the Sea Gulch, Trees of Mystery. Vacationing families would stop and explore them. Most of them are gone today, but the Oregon Vortex is still popular. It's been around since the 1930s. In it, water seems to run uphill. People's apparent size changes from one end of a plank to another. The operators say it's because of a confluence of magnetic influences that actually warp the fabric of space, causing massive old-growth trees to grow at a slant and objects to appear bigger or smaller depending on where they are relative to lines in the magnetic field. The place was developed and opened in 1930 by a Scottish fellow named John Litster, a geologist and a mining engineer. Litster spent much of his life trying to make sense of some of the unusual phenomena there and developed the magnetic force field theory, or maybe he made it up. Again, I'm not taking a position on that. Litster's theory is that the property is the site of a spherical force field, half above the ground and half below it, just under 165 feet in diameter, which causes these things. In particular, Litster found the House of Mystery intriguing. This was an assay shack built by the Old Gray Eagle Mining Company in 1904. At some point, it apparently was knocked off its foundation by some sort of geological disruption, probably a flood, and found its way to its current spot, half-collapsed sideways by its ordeal. Litster shored the wreck up to make it safe and kept it just like it was. For decades, skeptics have scoffed. The effect of people's heights changing has been ascribed to something called a Ponzo illusion, in which heavy chevron-shaped lines bracketing two identical figures cause the eye to perceive height differences in them. Also, without any horizon line or point of reference, it's hard to really know for sure if that water really is flowing uphill in the House of Mystery. So is the Oregon Vortex simply a monument to 80 years of psychological suggestion and expert illusioneering? Or is there really something unusual about the place? Could there be a real scientific basis for this pseudoscientific-sounding force field theory? Until a thorough scientific study is done, we can't really know. And the people who do thorough scientific studies generally tend to have better things to do than try to debunk goofy pop-sci theories that seem ridiculous on their face. But the operators of the Vortex have pretty much always maintained an open-door policy to the skeptical. Photographs are encouraged, skeptical investigations meet with enthusiastic cooperation, and even offers of free admission to the site while investigating. It's difficult to imagine an elaborate con job surviving this kind of openness, combined with the kind of scrutiny that paranormal claims always inspire for such a long period of time, even in a relatively remote corner of southern Oregon. On the other hand, maybe that openness is just part of the con. You're going to have to decide for yourself. Either way, it's a great attraction. You should definitely check it out. Well, that is our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a series of live history shows, a Facebook page, and a couple of other minor components as well. YouTube channel, Tumblr blog, things like that. All of it is accessible through our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. Visual goodies and other resources that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources for this story, as well as more than 250 other Offbeat Oregon history columns written over the past 5 years since I've been doing these. Like this podcast, those articles are covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon history for fun and to learn things. I don't ever want it to turn into something I dread, something like a J-O-B. So I don't sell advertising or ask for donations. But if you enjoy the podcast and you'd like to support it, you can always buy a copy of my book. If you enjoy this podcast, I can almost guarantee that you will like the book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and they're available at community bookstores. Or if you like, you can order a signed copy through the store link at offbeatoregon.com. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in the neighborhood near Oregon State University, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee in the library coffee shop and talk history. I'm Finn at offbeatoregon.com. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. That's Thursday morning. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.